TV.
Yeah, I really don't want to make this show about me. It's going to have to be a little bit about me. But I'm going to get to back to the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's going to have to be a little bit about me because I just found out about the CT scan. Stacy and Eric, who are fellow members of the Body of Christ, they have access to all my medical stuff. And I want it that way because I can't deal directly with this. It's too stressful. So they're like the agents. They're my agents, and they go between. And it's basically good news and bad news. The good news is the main tumor is significantly reduced, like almost to nothing. That's great if it ended there. But then on the other side of my face, I don't know which side, this side, I guess, there's some lymph nodes that have grown that are cancerous, that are enlarged, and that have gotten worse. So that ticked me off, really ticked me off, because I tried to play nice, you know, and tried to do everything right, doing the immunotherapy. If it had been uniform reduction, I would be happy right now, you know. But there's that great news about the main tumor. It's like it's almost gone. Like, yay. And then, so why did the lymph nodes grow? It could be because the lymph nodes suck up all the crap. I don't know. It's just bothersome. And so I had to pour some Jack Daniels, probably more than I should have, but it is what it is. And so I'm just ticked off because these cells are clever and that they survive, and God made them that way, which ticks me off, that God made them so that they are self-preserving, and they know tricks of how to preserve themselves, and God gave them that wisdom so that they can kill you. And that really ticks me off. That God put that in the mix. But I mean, that's not all he put in the mix. My God, all the viruses and the bugs, those little things, that microscopic bugs inside of you. I forget what they call them now, but they eat you alive, and they're little microbes and germs and all things. And it's just, it's like a no-win game. It's part of mortality. Something has to kill you, you know. But having said that, I was wrestling between, you know, trying not to have the surgery, thinking that if everything was reduced uniformly, then I could maybe get by with just the immunotherapy and the other stuff that I'm doing. But now I'm just ticked off. Like, I'm telling these lymph nodes, I'm telling this part of my body, I tried to play nice with you, you know, I tried to give you a chance, and now you're playing this game of enlarging and growing and trying to kill me and take over my body. Well, you know, I'm going to have to take you out surgically, like Indiana Jones at the airport with the guy wielding the saber. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's the game you're going to play. Well, you know, shoot you dead. And Stacy read the notes of the oncologist, and not the oncologist, the ENT guy, ear, nose, and throat guy, Messi, the guy I call Messi. And he says it's curable. So it could be that now that the big one is gone, maybe the surgery can be less involved, less intense. Maybe you just aim the gun to the left and then take care of this crap. I also want to look into the proton radiation, which is more of a direct hit. It's the latest, greatest technology. Like, why would I want to do chemo, which is prehistoric, really, treatment? It's like Cro-Magnon man used, you know, chemotherapy. Of course, I don't believe in that, so just a figure of speech to say that chemotherapy is ancient and destructive and really brutal. Why use that when you have something like proton radiation, which goes directly at a thing? And if everything is centered now in these damn lymph nodes, I shouldn't say damn lymph nodes, because the purpose of the lymph nodes is to collect the trash. They really have protected the rest of my body. The good news is there were apparently shadows in different parts of my body, like they were suspect, but everything's clear. Everything's clear. This stuff is nowhere else. It's not in my tongue. It's not in my mouth. It's not in my carotid artery. It's not in my larynx. It's not in my nasal cavity. It's not in my brain. It's not anywhere else. It's just here. So, you know, I should be like, yay, even though this is like doubled in size, one part of it is doubled. This part is reduced like to nothing, which is great. But another part, another side of it is doubled. Why? Don't know for sure. And I'm ticked that I have to find out. I'm ticked that I'm dealing with the whole thing. But that's God. That's God's will for me. I know it is. I know. If I have to go through an 8-hour surgery, so be it. So be it. Whatever I got to do. But I would rather zap it with this proton radiation. The weird thing is, I was talking to Messi, you know, the doctor, the surgeon, and I said, I'm really interested in this proton radiation therapy because it's so sophisticated, and it's true. I mean, it doesn't, unlike photon radiation, it doesn't harm on the way in or the way out. It just goes directly to the source and just can be very carefully aimed. It's like Star Wars. It's like a nuclear submarine compared to a shrimp. The shrimp is chemotherapy. The nuclear submarine is proton radiation. Why wouldn't I want that? But the insurance companies are very selective as to who gets it because it's expensive. Very expensive. But I qualify because it's a sensitive area. That's one reason. That's one way the insurance company can approve it, is if it's in a very sensitive area. Obviously, it's a very sensitive area. A lot of delicate stuff there. So I need to look into that. But anyway, it was good news in a way, but then the good news lasted about 2 minutes, a minute and a half, actually. No, maybe 45 seconds, because I could tell the way Stacy was talking. I thank God that this stuff's coming filtered through a friend, through a fellow believer, and not through people to whom you are a customer. So I heard it through her. She looked at it. She read it. She's familiar with these things. And it's like, yeah, there's one side is problematic. It's not going to stop growing unless we do something. So that's what the surgery's for. So I'm like, okay, now there's no question. Get in there, pull it out. That'll teach you the lesson. You think you can grow? You're going to play games, right? We're doing all these things to get rid of you, and you're going to grow. And like, well, okay, we're going to just take a knife and cut you out. What do you think about that? How do you think about yourself now? Is your self-esteem kind of shot a little bit now? Little cancer cell? Think you're clever? Think you're smart? You developed this intelligence in order to evade detection, or in order to covertly kill me? Well, we're going to kill you, bitch. So there you go. Take that. That's the way I feel about it now. But even better to zap it with proton radiation. So I'm really pushing Tracy and Eric to get me an appointment with the radiologist at University of Miami so we can take the Star Wars approach to this instead of the primitive approach, instead of the Neanderthal approach. Let's take the Star Wars approach. Let's zap it with this high-tech radiation. Zap it out of existence. Like this insidious bastard group of cells wakes up thinking it's going to take over, and then all of a sudden this beam of radiation comes in. It's like, oh, what happened? Primitive. Bitch, what happened? What happened? Guess you didn't see that coming, did you? I would prefer that to cutting. I mean, people cut back in the year 100. I mean, they were doing surgery with knives cutting into your brain and everything. You're like, what century is this? We're still cutting? Really? The thing is, I was telling Messi, I'd really want to look into this proton radiation rather than photon radiation. He says, yeah, he goes, well, there's only like four places in the U.S. where that's done. And I said, yes, and we're at one of them. He goes, yes, that's true. I had to tell him that. Yeah, there are only four places to do this. And I said, yeah, I'm here because this is one of them. He goes, well, I don't really know much about that. Hook me up with somebody who does, please. So anyway, but the one thing... Messi, I call him Messi because he looks like Lionel Messi. His name's Dr. Leibowitz. If you want to look him up, he's a genius. the one thing about him is that, like, he's the best at what he does. So, but he admits he's not up on the proton radiation stuff. Then hook me up. Okay, hook me up, dude. So anyway, it's all in God's hands. Which is to say, Stacy. So I just wait to see what she says. She's going to submit questions based on her reading. She's pretty good. She's not a doctor, but she's pretty good at reading these things. And she read the whole report, spent a couple hours, Eric and Stacy, wonderful people. They're doing this for me because they love me. They don't have to do this. I'm not paying them. They volunteered because they love me. And they know that I'm just totally chicken shit on looking into these things. I don't want to know. Just, I'll do what I have to do. But I want to be smart about it. So it was kind of devastating, actually, to hear that. I was hoping for a uniform reduction. Then it would have been a different story. But since some of you is going to be difficult in there, we might have to go at it a different way. So that's all I got to say about that for now. So now let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 for some much better news. Because what is seen is temporary. All this stuff is temporary. It's passing by. It's really trying to loom large to me. It's really trying to work its will on my perception right now. And in a sense, it's succeeding. But in another sense, God's on top of it, i.e. Stacy. And I hope you understand what I mean when I say that. God absolute, Stacy relative, okay? So, and Maria, of course, boom, she's right there with me. And that is terrific. If I have to go under surgery for 8 hours, when I wake up, I either want to see Jesus or Maria. Either Jesus or Maria. Boy, I would love to see either face, you know. Either face would be, either person would be such a comforting presence. Such a good reason to wake up from 8 hours of oblivion. Yeah, amazing. So anyway, there it is. That's what I'm dealing with. What are you dealing with today? A lot of you are dealing with some crazy stuff. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. So that we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Yeah, I know that, but I wish I could live it out. But now I have to deal with myself according to flesh. But I want to do it as little as possible, which is why I took up Stacy and Eric when they said, we can help you. Okay. We can, like, be your agents and talk to the doctors for you so you don't have to. Thank you, God and Jesus. Thank you, God and Jesus, i.e. Stacy and Eric. So that we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh, yet even if we have known Christ according to flesh, nevertheless we know him so no longer. I got a great text from Tony Smith. I can't read it now. Darn it, I meant to transfer it from my phone to my computer so I could read it to you. It was so beautiful. He's been a longtime friend, longtime viewer, been a friend since the 90s, just been a real stalwart supporter of the work, but it's on my phone, and my phone is now recording me, so I can't read it, but I will try to get it onto you next week. It's practically poetry. The man is an excellent writer, and he was so happy to see the photo of the comparison. Oh, and the wound nurse came again today. This time it was the black lady. There's two of them. This one's name's Liz, just really great. They're both great, Liz and Lynette. Liz came today, and she, like, she couldn't believe it. She looked at the wound. It is just so better, and I'm thinking better outside, better inside, and she agreed. And then to get this news, it's kind of devastating. But that the main tumor is shrunk to practically nothing. If we could just leave it at that. But, I mean, maybe the lymph nodes are swollen because I think the lymph nodes are saving my life, because lymph nodes or the trash collectors of the body. They take the poisons and they collect them. So maybe we've tricked the system. I don't know. This is me. What do I know? I don't know nothing but anything. Sorry. But have we tricked the system in that the lymph nodes have collected the crap, and maybe the lymph nodes are the reason that the main tumor is reduced, and now everything collected in the lymph nodes is in one place where we can zap it with Star Wars radiation, i.e. proton, not photon radiation. Photon radiation just scattershot, just takes a large area. Proton is like 82nd airborne. No damage in, no damage out, but while it's there, it's destroying you. Let's get back to the scriptures. Please. I know it's my fault we haven't. So that from now on, we are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Okay, yes, okay, sort of. Yet even if we have known Christ according to the flesh, nevertheless, now we know him so no longer. Did a whole show on that yesterday. So that if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. This is a figure of speech known as prolepsis, calling what is not as though it were. There is a new creation. In the mind of God, it is as good as done. And it's calling what is not, like we're not yet a new creation. We're still walking around in this old humanity. Believe me, I know it, and you know it. But there's a new creation. The primitive passed by. Paul's talking about this as if it's already done. That's why it's a figure of speech, because it's not already done. But it's so sure to be already done in a day, a very near day in the future, that it's spoken of as already done. This is why it's my favorite figure of speech, because it's so sure that it's talked about in the past tense. It's so sure to happen that we're going to talk about it as though it has happened. Prolepsis, figure of speech. So that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Figure of speech. There will be a new creation, but it is so sure to happen. It's just like somebody tells you to take out the garbage and you say, done. Or no, you tell somebody at work to take care of the Smith report. I want you to take care of the Smith report. Make sure that everything's lined up by the end of the day. And you hear your employees say, boss, done. It's done. You know it's not done because you just told them to do it. But when you hear them say, it's done, a less dramatic way of saying that is consider it done. Or I'll do that for sure. That's an even less sure way, but to be dramatic about it, you say, done. That fills you with confidence. It makes you feel great. It's so sure to happen. Your employee is so sure to handle that Smith report that your employee says, done. And you go home and you completely rest. That's what this is. It's not literally a new creation yet, but we're speaking of it. Christ is speaking of it as though it is, because it's so sure to be. With your employee handling the Smith report, maybe, maybe not, but you like the confidence. But with God, it's a whole different ballgame. It is done. It is done. In God's mind, it's done. It should be so comforting to you to hear it referred to in the past tense. The primitive passed by. It did? The primitive passed by? I'm still wearing this shirt and this bandage. I still got this ace bandage around my neck that's choking me. And as terrific as it looks, I still have a wound on my neck. I still have to have surgery. How has it passed by? It is so passed by in the mind of God. It is so sure to have been done. It came to pass. Remember, it came to pass that we're calling it past. The primitive passed by. And some people take this literally. They can't do that. It's a disaster. It's really dumb. But I feel sorry for people who don't understand this figure of speech because they see this and they think they're crazy. The primitive passed by. And so they start to try to convince themselves that they're a new creation now. And they look and they try to convince themselves, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. No, you're not. But you're so going to be that we're going to say you are. It's a figure of speech. Prolepsis. Look it up. If you don't know about it, then you're going to drive yourself crazy by trying to convince yourself. And I've had people do this to me. a guy in Florida tried to convince me that I was now seated among the celestials, Ephesians 2:6, who seats us among the celestials in Christ. Right now seats us. He goes, you're among the celestials right now. I looked out the window, it was snowing. I was in Windsor, Pennsylvania, where more people live under the ground than on top of the ground. So many friggin' cemeteries in Windsor. I said, no, I'm in Windsor, Pennsylvania. What do you mean? No, you are now, Scripture says you're now seated among the celestials. What's the matter with your faith, Martin? You are now seated among the celestials. I'm looking out the window. I'm a realist. And he's a nut job. Realist? Nut job. Actually, it's not a nut job. He's just unfamiliar with a figure of speech known as prolepsis, which where God calls what is not as though it were. That's the key to that. That lo, there has come new. Well, it's new in that the information is new. That part's true. The information is new. And so as we process the information and we consider it as good as done, that's prolepsis, as good as done, then it changes our mood about things. It changes our disposition about things. And we know that we're in good hands. But why did God make sure these bugs exist? These things, I'm sorry, I'm reverting to my previous lament, that God made sure that these insidious creatures are in our bodies just fucking us over every minute of every day. These microbes, these little creatures. I've seen microscopic photos of these creatures, these disease, these things, these bugs that cause, I can't look at them. I can't look at spiders. Okay? Spiders freak me out completely. Those long legs and the hair on the spider, I can't. And the eyes and the fact that they're intelligent, I can't stand it. I can't stand spiders. Really got a problem with spiders. So you damn well bet I have a problem with these. I forget what they're called, with these things inside our bodies. Things like bed bugs or these things that exist inside of us that eat us. What are they called? I don't want to give them the credit of calling them what they are. They're just insidious bastards. But God invented them. God created them. They're going to be reconciled to God too because they're living beings. God made sure he put them in there. It's probably part of the dying process. So we'll slowly break them down with these tiny microscopic. You can't even call them insects. What are they called? I don't know. But I can't stand them. And I'm a little ticked off at God for providing for their entrance. But it is, but God's a God and I'm not God, so, you know, you just got to live with it. And you do, you live with them. I just don't want to see them. You see pictures of them once in a while. Out of the corner of your eye, I can't look at them. I can't even look at a spider, sure as hell. I'm not going to look at these creatures that live inside my intestines and they live in your brain and they're just like these worms or whatever. God, why did God have to, invent intestinal worms? I think I'll invent the intestinal worm today. Oh, wow, that's going to be great. Yay. And the celestials did rise to their feet and applaud the day that the intestinal worm was created to afflict humankind. And the housefly. Let's not forget the housefly that causes so much disease. I'm telling you, if you didn't believe that God was love, you'd be really pissed off. But God is love, and he's doing this for our good. And it's all part of the torment that must occur in this eon for the contrast principle. So, hey, baby, contrast me. But I feel like I've been contrasted enough. I'm done. Feel like I've gotten my fill. I got the mess. I got the lesson. Lesson learned. So why are we continuing with this? Oh, there are other people that need to learn the lesson. Well, why don't you put me on hold? Uh-oh. That's basically asking for death. Put me on hold while other people learn the contrast lesson. I don't know if I'm going to say that either, but it's like I say, if I wake up and from surgery, if I do the surgery, unless I can talk them into Star Wars, instead of cutting me like they did in 8,000, 6,000 years ago, how about proton radiation? How about zapping it with radiation so sophisticated that it doesn't damage going in and it doesn't damage coming out? Why not we do that? Seeing as how I qualify, because I have a lot of sensitive things in this area. My larynx, love my larynx. My esophagus, love it. My carotid artery, near and dear to me. And a bunch of other stuff in there too. Pituitary gland. But these lymph nodes, I used to hate them, but I think they've actually saved my life by collecting all this crap. But if that's the case, then we've tricked the system. The system's been tricked. Now we got all the stuff in one place. We've drawn it out. Lymph nodes have done their job. Thank you, lymph nodes. Now we're going to blast you into oblivion with what? Photon radiation? No, my friends. Proton radiation. Please. Please. Write my doctors today and tell them, why isn't Martin Zender talking to the proton radiation people? And for Messi to say, yeah, there are only four of those proton radiation treatment centers in the United States. Hey, doc, we're in one right now. But he doesn't know about that. He admitted he didn't know anything about it because he's a surgeon. Oh, my God. All this of God. Am I ready to get to that passage yet? Yes, I am. The primitive passed by, lo, there has come new. Yet all is of God. See, you have to say that. You have to say that every now and then. Paul says it like three times, twice here. 2 Corinthians 5:18. He also says it in, where else is it? All is of God. Romans. I'll find it and I'll put it down here. Unless I don't feel like it, which I might not. You might have to look it up for yourself. All is of God. We only need it once. You give this verse to people, all is of God. Yeah, you got another verse? No, I don't need another verse. I only need one. Yeah, all is of God who conciliates us. Remember, conciliation is one way. The King James completely botches this. Who reconciles us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the reconciliation, how that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. None of that's true. Reconciliation is a two-way peace. I can be conciliated to you. I can be at peace with you, but you're ticked off at me. That's not reconciliation. We're not yet reconciled. I'm conciliated to you, but you're not conciliated to me. In this case, God is conciliated to the world through Christ. How that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. See, so God didn't forsake Christ. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's how he felt. I feel terrible for him that he felt that way, that he felt abandoned. But he wasn't, because God, this verse proves it. How that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. Not reckoning their offenses to them. All of a sudden, the offenses of the world were not being reckoned to them. Why? Because Jesus Christ took away the sin of the world at Calvary. And placing in us the word of the conciliation. We have the word of it. We have the declaration of it. We're the only ones that know it. We're the one of 900 people on the planet who even know that God is conciliated to the world through the cross of Christ. Again, reconciliation screws us all up, because how is the world reconciliated? How is the world reconciled to God? They hate God. There's no reconciliation here. Conciliation, yes, one way. It will be two ways. It's two ways with us, but to the world at large, not yet. Not yet. And it's placing in us the word of the conciliation. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors, as of God entreating through us. So much to say here, going to have to wait till Monday. As of God entreating through us, we are beseeching, for Christ's sake, be conciliated to God. We're not telling anybody to be reconciled to God. That's ridiculous. Be conciliated, because God's already conciliated to them. So why would we call for a two-way conciliation when the one-way conciliation is done? So we are ambassadors. So much here. We are ambassadors as of God entreating through us. Just that the God of the universe is entreating through us. All the power he has, all the means he has to communicate, he chooses to communicate through us. Incredible. Be conciliated to God. For the one not knowing sin, he makes to be a sin offering for our sakes, that we may be becoming God's righteousness in him. OMG, there's a week of teaching there, and I guess it's a good thing we have another week next week. But if we don't, I'll be even happier. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.